Yeah, a couple of issues to begin with this week. Of course, Julia Gillard is visiting New Zealand. Very much welcome the visit of an Australian Prime Minister. She's a person I know very well, and I'm delighted that she will be the first international leader who will actually speak to the New Zealand Parliament. I think that's only appropriate for our strongest and closest friend and neighbour. Two other issues I think that highlight the stalling of the economy. A poll to read at the AusJobs Expo over the weekend, that 6,000 New Zealanders flocked to the expo, breaking their neck to emigrate to Australia and find a new life there and a job there. This is not a sign of an economy that is coming aggressively out of recession, as the Prime Minister promised us. The other detail I think that has come out is with the December retail figures. We know that the Boxing Day sale was a disaster, and these figures are confirmation of that, that the economy has stalled, and JP Morgan Australia puts that down to the imposition of the increase in GST. That didn't boost our economy, actually it damaged the prospects of our recovery.
The only Gillard thing, the Greens have basically blocked her speaking at the formal parliament at 7 in the morning and hear her speak. Do you think that's a fair point of view for them to take?
Well, she will be speaking to the parliament. It will be outside of the normal session of parliament, but it will be to parliament. The Greens say that this is some obstacle to parliamentary sovereignty. I don't agree with that at all. I think this is a chance for us to have a serious discussion with Julia Gillard, and it's better that it's done in that context than with the clinking of glasses and cutlery at the parliamentary banquet.
But wouldn't have had more meaning if it was during a formal sitting of Parliament?
No, it is in Parliament, and I'm suggesting to you there'll be a full turnout of parliamentarians there. It's an appropriate venue, and it's appropriate that it be held there, but outside of the normal sitting hours.
Do you think it's ironic that the charge by the Greens, led by Russell Norman, who took 30 years to come from Australia to New Zealand and speaks on the floor of the House and get an opportunity?
Well, it is a bit ironic because Russell is Australian himself. Look, I think the very first person that should take advantage of the opportunity to address our Parliament should be the Prime Minister of Australia. They're our closest neighbour, they're our closest friend, we work very, very well with them. And I think for Julia in particular, an acknowledgement that she was so helpful over the Pike River disaster, went out of her way to be of assistance there, and on an approach from New Zealand, was also prepared to extend emergency federal government assistance to Kiwis living permanently in Australia affected by the floods.
But he would argue, once the doors open, you're going to have, for example, the President of China wanting to address our Parliament, a communist. And
well,
that's what he said. He said, you've created precedent.
We can choose the opportunities when foreign leaders come to New Zealand and address our Parliament. I think it's a venue for a very important visitor to this country. If we're in favour of having people in this country as visitors, representing their country, then having them speak to our Parliament in Parliament is appropriate.
In your last year in office, about 33,000 people need to go to Australia to September 2008. Mm-hmm. How different is 6,000 people turning up to a job expo in Auckland compared to what you had in your final year in office?
I think the difference is that was at a point when our country was at the height of the global financial crisis, and we were more intimately affected by that than national. We're now meant to be recovering from that international downturn, yet the figures show exactly the opposite. The figures aren't going down, they're going up.
But there's potentially jobs out there. I mean, it's almost a domestic market, the Australasian market. I mean, that's what you people have pushed for decades.
Yeah. But look at why people...
Why is it so negative?
It's negative for this reason, that we have the lowest level of housing starts in this country in 45 years. Our building industry has tanked. We're building half the new homes that we need to meet New Zealand demand. And when we recover from this recession, we're going to find a huge shortage of skilled labour, of materials, an industry that's not geared up to respond. That'll be a disaster for New Zealand. That's still to come.
But you were showing that those numbers in that final year of 32,800.
Look, no, of course we weren't happy with the situation that people were leaving New Zealand at that time, but it was at the height of the global financial crisis. This is when, at the end of 2008, of course it had hit at that point. Go back and have a look at the figures. This was at a time when our economy was trending down. The Aussies have managed to keep their economy out of recession. Now we should be in recovery. And this is further evidence that we're not.
This is one of the ironies there. In terms of the closer relations with Australia, it's all about actually making it easier for people from New Zealand to shift to investment.
Nobody's talking about closing off entry to Australia. That would be stupid. We have a free movement of labour across the Tasman. What we have to regret is that our economy is going backwards. Our unemployment is going up. Their unemployment is down. Their construction industry, their retail industry are going well, and ours are in recession. This should not be happening 2.25 years after the global financial crisis happened.
Isn't this like a crack record, though? We hear it, you know, every election year. People complain about Australians, or New Zealanders going to Australia. I mean, right back to some old doomsday they were talking about.
Yeah, but Barry, you remember and I remember that the big issue of the last election from John Key was that he was going to close the gap. That gap has got wider. It's got wider in terms of lack of employment in this country as against employment opportunities across the Tasman. It's got wider in terms of wages going up across the Tasman, most people being worse off because of John Key's tax switch.
Do you think that those people who go across the Tasman will flop back for more higher tax rates?
Oh, look, the Aussie tax rates are way above at the top level what the tax rates are in this country. People, you know, and I know, Guyan, that people go across the Tasman because wages are better there. Their economy is moving. Ours is stalled. And 2.25 years after National took power, it's their responsibility.
What do you want from the
back? Oh, a plan to get growth for jobs, a plan to get growth for rising incomes in New Zealand. Not gimmicks like cycleways and job summits, but real policies that will get our economy moving.
Like what?
Well, we've talked about research and development, making sure that we can get a clever economy. That's what will keep our children employed in our country. About raising skill levels instead of 1 in 4 of our kids going out of school and into unemployment. About a monetary policy that will work for this country, unlike the present monetary policy.
Do you think those sorts of things would have people flocking back to New Zealand?
Oh, look, I think those are the sort of things that are the basis for building a strong economy that is an export-oriented economy, not one based on speculation.
What do you think of the investment protocol which will be signed, that has already been, details have been released, whereas investors from Australia can spend $477 million on a New Zealand business without any scrutiny. Does that fit with your ideas about foreign investment there?
Labour was cautious, always in terms of the investment protocol. That's why perhaps that was the slowest area in terms of the closer economic relationship with Australia. But we were slow for a very good reason. Their investment capability means that they can buy up assets here very readily. And there's no New Zealander that's not aware of the fact that the Australian banks take $2.5 billion a year in dividends out of this country.
So you don't support the relaxing of overseas investment protocol so that up to $477 million can get gone through that screen? You don't support that?
I haven't been involved in negotiation and I'm not over the details on that, but I'd say we'd be far more cautious on that. But the best way to protect our assets in New Zealand, of course, is not to sell those assets overseas so that power companies like Contact are now majority controlled from Australia and other major assets, and that included assets sold in the 80s. That was a mistake, and I think we've learned from that mistake. National has.
Would you be comfortable with an Australian company, a conglomerate, coming in and buying, say, $450 million worth of farms in New Zealand without any commentary from the overseas investment office?
I've said before, and I'll say it again, that most New Zealanders don't want to see farmland sold off overseas unless you can demonstrate a very clear benefit in terms of added value and job growth to New Zealand.
So you change those rules that are about to be signed off?
We'll address that question when we come to it.
Well, no,
I've made the point very clear. I'll reiterate it here. When Germany spent $100 million on buying up dairy farms in the last month, when a new Chinese consortium will likely buy up the Crayfa farms, most New Zealanders don't think that's a good idea, and I'm one of them.
And they did that they've done that for a long time, especially in the last 10 years.
But the rate is accelerating. The German investment, for example, is more in the last month than it was in the previous 5 years. That's got to be.
So you're saying you'd consider? Are you saying you'd consider blocking this move to allow easy for Australian investors to come here and buy our farms?
What I'm saying is that we would take a very cautious attitude on investment. Mainly, we want to keep New Zealand farmland in New Zealand hands. We'll look at what needs to be done to achieve that objective.
It's a two-way street, though. I mean, they are lifting the threshold to nearly $1 billion.
So
right. New Zealand companies can buy up to nearly $1 billion with Australian assets without scrutiny. I mean, it seems like you're turning your back on globalisation.
No, it's not a case of that at all. But you'll be aware that a country of 21 million people has a far greater ability to take over the assets of a country of 4.3 million people.
You were a trade minister for a long time. Do you not agree with the investment protocol that's been looked at? Because you would have been aware of
it. You know, the trade negotiations that I was responsible for, we were very cautious about the degree to which we eased up the ability of other countries to invest in and control New Zealand's strategic assets. And in the next government, we'll be even more careful. It's about strategic assets. It's about New Zealand farmland. Most New Zealanders want to keep those things in New Zealand hands.
But this protocol was largely left to be negotiated under Labor.
Yeah, look, I'm saying that we've looked at that policy again. We've said that we don't want to see New Zealand farmland go outside the control of New Zealanders. We don't want to see strategic assets go outside the control of New Zealanders. That's a policy direction that we've announced. And we'll be putting meat on the bone of that policy.
So would the Labor-led government want to renegotiate this investment program?
Well, no, as I say, we'll address that that problem when we get to it. I need to look at the details and not over the details.
So you've changed your mind over this protocol since...
What I'm saying is that in terms of investment, we want to make sure that New Zealand continues to control our farmland. John Key might say we don't want to be tenants in our own land, but he's done nothing to actually stop New Zealanders becoming tenants in their own land. Labour will be different.
This investment protocol doesn't cover farmland.
Well, I'm talking about farmland, I'm talking about strategic assets. Those are the areas that Labour has spelled out that we will be putting particular protections in place to ensure New Zealanders continue to control those assets.
The other assets, like private companies.
Look, generally, in terms of foreign investment, we welcome foreign investment into New Zealand. We've said there are particular areas, strategic assets and farmland, where those assets are different, and we want to see New Zealanders continue to control those assets. We have also said we would continue to welcome broader foreign investment, particularly in greenfields areas, new technology, things that will create jobs and higher incomes for New Zealand.
Mr. Gough, central wage routes. Essential wage fixing. Is that an idea that you think has got merit?
Well, the employers, the EMA, has misinterpreted what Trevor Mallard has said. I'd invite you to have a look at the speech that he wrote. He said, this is a model we're considering. It is not Labor Party policy. He said that explicitly. But it is not a return to 1960s style compulsory unionism and national awards. That's a misrepresentation of what he said, and I suspect it was done to spice the issue up. I don't mind having a discussion and a debate with employers over that. No good employer has anything to worry about in terms of Labor's policies in that respect.
Would central wage fixing require more wider union membership than we have at the moment?
Look, union membership in this country is voluntary. It will continue to be voluntary. We are in favour of collective bargaining. We know that some people are still disadvantaged in the collective bargaining process because it's very difficult for them to become part of a collective bargain. We are looking at that area. We are examining the options. The employers will have input into that, just as the trade unions and other groups.
When will we finalise that policy?
The industrial relations policy will be released as part of the policies that come quite close to the election.
Have you thought at all that rethought Labor's position regarding recent Peter's absence?
No, I've made the position clear on that. You've asked the question and I've answered it many times.
Have you discussed it with the caucus?
Have I discussed it with the caucus? We've had a broad discussion about potential coalition partners. All of us are in agreement. We let the people make their decision. And then we make our decision on the basis of compatibility and policies that we want to pursue for all New Zealanders.
So did anyone in the caucus raise any opposition to what you
Look, I've said my position, that's quite clear.
I've got a question too.
And my answer is the same as I've given you before, Guy. But, you know, in case you didn't hear, we're ready after the election to look at the parties. No, let me finish. I did hear the question.
Anyone in the caucus raise opposition to working with Mr. Peters?
Look, no, I know what you're trying to do with that question, and my answer is very clear. And it is that we will look, we'll let the people decide, and we will work with anyone that we feel is compatible and whose policies are compatible with promoting the interests of all New Zealanders.
So you won't answer the question?
No, I've answered the question. You're just choosing to answer it in a particular way, Guy, and I'm not going to do it.
My question is, has anyone in your caucus raised opposition to working with Mr. Peters?
And I've given you the answer. I'm not going to repeat it. I've answered it already.
What is it? What's the answer?
You've heard it several times, and I'm not going to waste the time of this interview by answering it again.
Do you trust him enough, though, to give him a senior cabinet slot?
Well, that's a hypothetical question.
No, we'll wait and see.
It is hypothetical.
Well,
we'll wait and see.
At the end of the year.
Mr. Peters at the moment isn't in Parliament. Let's see if Mr. Peters is in Parliament in the first instance. And then there'll be a negotiation around policies that we would need to find compatible with our view. We'll make a decision on that basis.
Will you rule out giving the 50-50 sort of prime ministership like it has been reported in the past, and will you rule that for being prime
minister? I don't think either of those things have been or would be concerned.
So support in the caucus wasn't unanimous, or you were
here? Let me make it very clear to you that our position on this is unanimous in caucus.
Nobody expressed any concern about
The position that I enunciated to you was unanimously supported in caucus. Yes.
Has anybody said to you in caucus that you should, or asked you to consider ruling out Winston Peters, given that John Key has?
No, everybody in caucus remembers that John Key was ready to embrace him late last year. That was fine. And mark my words, John Key was ready to go into a coalition with Rodney Hyde and stay in a coalition with Rodney Hyde, irrespective of the fact that the policies that the ACT Party and the behaviour of the ACT Party has discredited it. He's willing still to stay in coalition with the Māori Party, notwithstanding the fact that he promised before the last election he was going to abolish Māori seats and toughen up the Foreshore and Seabed Act. Total reversals. That didn't seem to worry Mr. Key, and perhaps you should ask some of these questions to Mr. Key and his readiness to find coalition partners.
So just to clarify, no one in your caucus offered any opposition to the idea of working with Mr. Peters under
the election? The idea that you let the people decide first, and then you find coalition partners compatible with your policies for the good of all New Zealanders was unanimous. Because I've given you the answer to the question in the way that I wish to.
You said the caucus was unanimous.
I'm not going to let you or anybody else put words into my mouth.
You did say the caucus was unanimous on that, so nobody raised any objections.
In support of the position that I've enunciated, yeah. Anybody else having trouble understanding that? Okay. Yes. Well, we'd like to see more New Zealanders involved in the fishing industry. We're concerned about some of the conditions and safety issues involved in foreign fishing vessels off the coast of New Zealand. We've seen recent examples of that. I think an inquiry exploring how we can do more processing within New Zealand and jobs for New Zealanders and safety issues would be a good idea.
Why now?
The issue has come up now. The petition has been delivered now. We have to respond to the petition. I think we should respond positively and have a look at all of those issues that I think are pertinent to where New Zealand has moved, because the petition has been launched now. Okay, that's pretty common sense.
See you.
Okay. Yep. Thank you very much for that.
Cheers.